Jordan was getting impatient. He'd been waiting in the Great Hall for almost half an hour, and there was still no sign of the Regent, or Lewis, or Dominic. The court was buzzing with conversation, but he didn't dare join in. He didn't know enough yet to be sure of not saying the wrong thing. Gawain stood at his side, calm and unmoving. Jordan had noticed that everyone else at court tended to give Gawain plenty of room. He didn't seem to be much liked at court, but he was certainly respected.
Announcing Prince Lewis of Redhot!
Jordan looked around in time to see Prince Lewis's entrance. His men came in first, a dozen guards in full chainmail with drawn swords. They all had the hard, untrusting faces and professional wariness of the trained bodyguard. They took their time assuring themselves there was nothing immediately threatening in the Great Hall. They fell back to either side of the doors as Lewis walked in.
Wait, I don't get it. Why are people talking like this is a scandal?
Look at his chest. He's wearing chainmail.
Right.
For a prince to wear armor at court is an open insult to the regent. Your brother is saying very clearly that he no longer trusts the regent to protect his life or his interests at court.
The courtiers bowed and curtsied, and Lewis acknowledged them with a vague wave of his hand. The guards watched the courtiers carefully. Jordan studied Lewis as openly as he could without staring. He'd been told about Lewis till he could have recited the man's life history in his sleep, but Jordan was a great believer in first impressions. Lewis looked normal enough, even handsome in his way, but there was a strained, intense look to the man that grated subtly on Jordan's nerves. It was as though Lewis was on a tight leash that he might slip at any moment and run loose, out of all control. Jordan also didn't like the sleek musculature of Lewis's chest and arms that spoke of the trained swordsman, or the way Lewis's eyes lingered on some of the fairer ladies at court. Jordan turned his attention to the two companions that had followed Lewis into the hall, Ironheart and the monk. Ironheart was a tall knight in full battle armor, a strange enough sight at court, but if he was strange, the monk was downright unnerving. Just looking at the monk, Jordan felt a cold shiver run through him, as though someone had just walked over his grave. There was something almost arrogant in the impenetrable darkness that filled the monk's cowl, in the blatant admission of his own supernatural nature. Jordan wasn't sure whether there really was a body inside the robe or not. The arms were folded across the chest so that the cuffs were hidden, and the end of the monk's robe brushed against the floor. It could be nothing more than a simple illusion. The monk was, after all, supposed to be a sorcerer. Jordan remembered the sudden thunderstorm at Boromir, and bloody bones rising from his grave. If the monk had been behind that, he could be more dangerous than Lewis and Dominic put together. Jordan looked hard at the monk. There was something wrong about him. And then Jordan swallowed dryly as he finally saw that the monk, of all people at court, didn't cast a shadow. He decided he'd rather look at Ironheart for a while. The knight stood motionless, a step behind Lewis, wearing full plate armor and a blocky steel helm with the visor lowered. There was no insignia or device on his armor to give a clue as to his identity. It was a knight's armor, but that didn't prove anything. In fact, if he really was a knight of the realm, why wasn't he called Sir Ironheart? In his own way, the armored knight was as mysterious and anonymous as the monk. And like the monk, no one at Castle Midnight seemed too sure of where he'd come from originally. The two of them had simply appeared at Lewis's side one day, and they'd been there ever since. It was hard to tell which of the two was feared more. Ironheart was Lewis's pet murderer. Under Lewis's direction, he'd challenged 17 men to duels and killed them all with the great double-edged broadsword he carried slung on his back. Before Ironheart came along, Lewis had been content to do his own killing, but with the crown so nearly in his grasp of late, Lewis had grown cautious. Jordan studied Ironheart carefully. The armor was old and battered and looked like it hadn't been polished in years, but it was still clearly in good working order. The bone hilt of the broadsword peered over his left shoulder like a watchful eye. Jordan stared at the helm's closed visor and frowned thoughtfully. The man must be boiling hot inside all that armor, but still made no move to take off his helm or even to raise the visor. In fact, he seemed perfectly at ease.
I'm starting to get the feeling I may have joined the wrong side. We're supposed to take on those two? a monk who isn't there, and an armored killing machine. I think we're seriously outclassed here, Gawain. All right, we beat Bloody Bones, but you know and I know that was only because we got lucky. A few conjuring tricks and a magic axe aren't going to be enough this time. I mean, we don't even have a real sorcerer on our side. Oh, I wish I was drunk. I wish I was very drunk. Maybe then my knees would stop shaking.
Will you get a hold of yourself? We knew about Ironheart and the monk when we started this. They're impressive, but not unbeatable. No one's unbeatable. Now brace yourself, Lewis is coming over.
Jordan quickly adopted his bland, untroubled face, the one he used when dealing with angry creditors. It was a very calm and relaxed face, with more than a little I-know-something-you-don't about it. It worked very well, as often as not. Jordan controlled his breathing, calming himself. Showtime. Nothing to worry about. Victor was just another character. He ran quickly through what little he'd been told about Victor and Lewis. They disliked each other, but they both hated Dominic. Jordan smiled easily. Lewis bowed formally. Ironheart and the monk stayed back away, politely out of earshot, but within easy call. They didn't bow to Jordan, so he ostentatiously ignored them. He nodded briefly to Lewis.
Well, Victor, it's good to see you up and about again. I had heard you were quite ill.
I was. I got over it.
He would have liked to leave it there rather than risking his characterization at such an early stage, but he could see Lewis was waiting for more. Going by its sudden silence, so was the court.
It was just a chill, Lewis, nothing more. I probably caught it on my travels.
Nasty things. Chills. They can get serious. People have been known to die of them if they don't take care.
Jordan frowned. If this man was trying to be clever, he was failing.
That's true. All kinds of people. You never know who's going to catch one next, do you?
I take precautions.
So do I. Lots of them.
You certainly sound better. But appearances can be so misleading.
Don't bet on it, Lewis. I feel strong enough to take on the whole damned world.
Lewis looked at him thoughtfully, and Jordan suddenly wondered if he'd walked into a trap. Lewis was the duelist in the family, after all. Jordan thought quickly back on what he'd said, but there didn't seem to be anything Lewis could take as an insult. Had he appeared too confident, perhaps? Victor had looked to be rather a weak sort, but Gawain had said he never backed down to anyone. Jordan shrugged mentally. What the hell? Everyone knew Victor had been away for 4 years. Exile can change a man.
I'm glad to hear you have your strength back. You're going to need it. I imagine things are going to be rather hectic around here for a while.
Looks that way. Do you know why the Regent wants to see us?
Haven't a clue, but I doubt it's anything good. Have you seen Dominic?
Not recently.
I understand he and Elizabeth have gone into politics. They're doing rather well, I believe. But then, they always were a splendid team.
Yes, yes. I always knew Elizabeth would go far, one way or another.
You've mellowed, Victor. Your time in exile must have agreed with you.
I learned a great many things while I was away from court, Lewis. You'd be surprised.
He glanced at the monk and Ironheart, still keeping a respectful distance.
I see your taste in friends hasn't improved.
They have their uses, and they are very loyal.
Oh, I'm sure they are, Lewis. But have you ever stopped to ask yourself why? All loyalty has its price. You should know that.
Lewis started to say something and then stopped. He looked at Jordan thoughtfully, then simply nodded politely. Jordan watched him go and mingle with the court and felt a little of the tension drain out of him. He was only too aware that the encounter could have ended nastily in any number of unpleasant ways. He looked at the dozen armed guards surrounding Lewis and felt an immediate desire to start checking for exits he could get to in a hurry.